Welcome, everybody. Welcome to Skid Row Studios in downtown Los Angeles. This is the weekly wrap-up where we get you caught up in the week's biggest stories. Like us on Facebook or subscribe at the iTunes store free to the weekly wrap-up. I am your host, Ken August. I am joined by the host of Bad Advice, as always, Drew Marks.
Happy to be here.
Happy to be here. And we have a special guest in the studio, the always funny, sometimes strangely angry, Vic Cohen. How are you, buddy?
I'm fantastic. Thank you, Gus. And hello, Drew. It's great to be here.
Good to see you, Vic.
Thank you.
Good to see you.
You're suspiciously calm to start off.
Yes, I am.
I'm a little concerned.
I'm actually calm because it is Father's Day, and yes. I'm here hiding out in Skid Row Studios praying to God that if there is a child looking for me, they will not come down to literally where we are on Skid Row.
Well, fortunately, right now we're having technical difficulties, so they can't call in. So you're at least safe for an hour.
Thank God.
I am considering adopting Nick over there in the booth.
Did you hear that? I didn't even hear him. Did you say something that...
I think he, to quote him, I believe it was, that'd be some shit right there.
That would be some shit right there is the story we're going with. All right, we're going to start with some politics, but eventually we will get to nuns on a bus. That seems like a good tour.
I saw that video.
And it's going to be a fine tour. I believe that was all started actually with 50 Shades of Nun or some sex nun book. There was something along those lines. The Sandusky trial got underway. Another Zimmerman in that family got arrested. That's always nice. And turns out the dingo did do it.
The dingo stole the baby.
Yes. We will briefly talk about the LA Kings bringing the Stanley Cup home. And then who knows where it's going to go after that. It's a great tradition. And then we'll hit some headlines. But first, let's start with Obama's initial misspeak that he did earlier in the week, which was pounced on.
Saying that you're blaming the Europeans for the failures of your own policies.
The truth of the matter is that, as I said, we've created 4.3 million jobs over the last 27 months. Over 800,000 just this year alone. The private sector is doing fine. Where we're seeing weaknesses in our economy have to do with state and local government. Oftentimes, cuts initiated by, you know, governors or mayors who are not getting the kind of help that they have in the past from the federal government.
That small little, oops, private sector's doing fine, pounced on it. He barely got the words out of his mouth. Republicans
pounced.
There
was already an ad.
Yeah. It was already an ad using it. Vic, you look like you're already ready to jump on this. What do you got?
Well, I mean, that's what he's supposed to say. You know, he's a politician.
You're supposed to say it when they can't point to every possible number that indicates you're wrong.
Right. And what does he mean by private?
Not non-government.
Okay.
Non-government related. Romney pounced on it, but it didn't take him long, as it usually doesn't, to have his own mistake. He tried to pounce on it right away. Like you said, there was immediately an ad out using Obama's own words against him. And then Romney comes with this.
He wants to hire more government workers. He says we need more firemen, more policemen, more teachers. Did he not get the message of Wisconsin? The American people did. It's time for us to cut back on government and help the American people.
Only Romney can make government sound like the guy next door.
What was the misspeak?
Well, the misspeak is saying we need less teachers, firemen, and policemen.
Yeah, he took what Obama said, and he went, oh, yeah, you think we need more? No. Didn't you hear about the recall? No, people don't want more firemen. They don't want more teachers. They don't want more policemen.
Yeah, what he should have said is they're against unions and big, you know, the same old political talking point. They're against big government. But when you specifically name people that are losing jobs.
Yeah.
It doesn't endear you to the populace.
Here's the thing that really shocks me about politicians, many of them, is they're supposed to be our brightest.
Oh, yeah, that stopped happening.
Yeah, and here's the thing is, as the more I paid attention, the more I think I started to realize that when we were younger and maybe a little more naive, I guess, I at least thought they were not only the brightest, but they were trying to do what is right.
Well,
I think that was the case.
No, I think that...
Probably not.
There's something that goes on, and we do it all the time, is we romanticize the past. Nixon was not necessarily a great, wonderful man.
No, but that's a bad example because very few people say he was.
Well, you were talking about the past.
No, I understand. But give me an example of someone who, once they passed, we gave him a good review. He was pretty bad all the way around. I mean, I hear what you're saying. Once somebody's out, we go, oh, and that's a lot of the Republican platform is we want to go back to the 1950s, which technically was only good for rich white men. But then you can't really do that.
I would argue that Nixon was not a bad president. He did some good things.
Everyone does good things. It doesn't make them a great president.
Yes, doing good things and being the only guy to get kicked out of office because you're a criminal.
Because you got caught.
Well, you got caught, and then you lied about getting caught, and the level to which you were... I mean, I don't think I could spend any time pretending that politicians aren't doing shady shit all the time. But when you start, you know, organizing yourself, start organizing break-ins and things along those lines, and then cover-ups of the break-ins... And then, as bright as he's supposed to be, he sits on national television and admits to it in that interview, which, you know, the Frost-Nixon interview.
Let me just tell you something, guys, because I think you guys need a little help here.
Yeah, please.
Today, we have TMZ. We have National Enquirer. We have the Huffington Post. We've got bloggers. Had this existed when our country were founded, who knows what would have been dug up?
That's why I say
about
he
Washington.
Got caught. That's all.
Jefferson today is known for, let's say, what his little picadillos, his little foray.
You can't use picadillos in this show. Okay. That's unacceptable.
But you know, I mean, no one is clean since the beginning of time.
Well, no, and Drew and I have discussed
about it. Yeah, everybody gets busted because everything you say is recorded, filmed.
And I also think now, because of that, and because of the 24-hour news cycles of hyper-partisan networks, yeah, I do think it was worse. I think, one, I was naive when I was younger, thinking people wanted to do the right thing, as opposed to once they're there, they're making a lot of money being in that office. Not just the presidency, obviously, but Congress specifically. But if you go back, and I mean, I know we can go back to days when guys would duel and do things along those lines, but let's go back to, I mean, nowadays they hate Obama so much that they talk about how good Clinton was. How Clinton can bring people to the table.
Well, Clinton, actually, economy was good.
Right, but these are the same people who tried to impeach Clinton for getting a blowjob while most of them were also having an affair. These are the same people that then accused him of murder. They accused him of murder, which is the only reason why there was a Whitewater investigation in the first place. And then when that doesn't work and eventually we get another Democrat in office, well, this guy's not actually an American and he can't be in office. He's
Listen,
the worst.
The hypocrisy has existed, I would imagine, since day one. I mean,
yes, but not
it's not
to that
just
level.
Republicans, you know, Democrats do it too. And look at, Gingrich is the quintessential hypocrite.
Yes, which is why he never had a chance in the first place. Never had a chance. But and partisanship has always been there, but the level of which I think it has gotten. I mean, the difference between, and part of this is Democrats are pussies, but because they can't get their own policies across. And Drew and I complain about this all the time. If you're going to fail getting your own policies across, as opposed to not getting it across and then getting blamed for not being able to do what you wanted to do.
I would say this about Obama. He has been, I would say, quite brave in pushing forward a lot of things that Democrats have wanted for many years.
Yes.
And I think that, I mean, the social issues like gay marriage, military, don't ask, don't tell. I mean,
a lot of that. Yes. And I agree with that. Although a lot of that did come when he started worrying about a second election.
Doesn't matter how
well
it started. It still takes.
Well, hold on. First of all, it does matter. I mean, if you get the right, then yes. And I'm happy he did those. But let's not pretend that everything he said he was going to do. And I'm a fan. But everything you said he's going to do. He's still a politician. He went in there and for some reason his thoughts on gay marriage backed up a little bit and then started evolving until it was enough that he needed those votes.
You know, for me, I don't really care how things evolve. What I care about is what actions are being taken. And I don't really even care about the motives. I mean, the bottom line is...
That's naive.
No, it's not naive. It's the truth. That's how I see it.
I
don't care why he did it. The point is he did it. That takes guts under any circumstances.
That's fantastic, and nobody's taking that away from him.
And he may lose,
that
Gus.
Very well may lose.
It's not a shoo-in.
Far from a shoo-in. I think he's going to have a hard time getting back in office. I think he's going to have a very hard time getting back in office.
But just because he's pushed these things through, even like we'll probably be talking about immigration, I'm imagining, yes. You know... these are really bold things that, you know, aren't necessarily going to get him elected. It's not, these aren't like.
Big. No, but nobody's arguing that. Nobody's arguing that. And nobody's taking it away
about
from
motives.
Him. No. Well, and because you, hold on. Cause you gave him credit right off the bat for, well, he pushed a lot of things through. Yes. But if you're going to give credit and I'm happy those things are through, let's not make it sound like he did it all for great reasons.
Hey,
he did it to get elected.
He did this health care reform. And let me tell you.
Strictly, he didn't do it just to get elected.
I agree with that. But the reason he didn't do it earlier was because it wasn't going to help as much as it's going to help now. I'm not taking away the action he did. I'm happy he did it. All I'm saying is with the unbridled credit, I'm saying let's be realistic about it. He didn't come in here and be like, well, here are all the good things I would like to do. It's here are all the good things I'd like to do. Let's see what I can get away with. Let's see what I can do. Let's see what I can do and when I should do
Gus,
it.
Gus, here's no, with all due respect, I always love when people say that because then they're going to slam the person. With all due respect, Gus, I think that you're focusing too much on how the chicken salad is made and not looking at the sandwich.
No, you're bringing me way off topic because nobody's arguing with you. I'm happy he did that.
But who cares the motive? I don't care.
Well, the only reason the motive was brought up was because when you word it as if he walked in and just wanted to do the right thing, that's bullshit. He's still a politician. Okay. There's a reason you can't just do the right thing, even if you want to do the right thing.
Even, yes, okay, I understand.
And that's what I'm saying. I'm sure when he got into office, because he had already said he was pro-gay marriage, and then he had to backtrack a little bit and go, it's evolving. It's evolving till when? It's evolving till it's a better time for me to come out with
it. Yes, I agree that he's a politician. I think, though, for me, when I look at what he's been doing, I am impressed with a guy who says he's going to do some things, and he's doing them. And they're controversial, whether it's the timing is more to his benefit or not. I mean, like healthcare, he said he was going to do healthcare reform. Guess what happened? To make it unravel, but the point is
I would have liked him to have, and I'm happy he did that. That is a huge move, and I'm happy. But I would have liked him to have hung out a little longer before immediately trying to compromise as much as possible. About starting at the center point and then just keep getting pulled to the right.
You're talking about healthcare?
Great. Yes. If you're going to talk about a public option, and then before you negotiate.
A lot.
Yes.
It came to health.
A lot. Now, he got, I'm happy he got across what he got across. But once again, it's one of those things where I want to get this across. I'll bargain with you as much as possible. So it's a very watered down version. And then you guys can complain about
it. One thing that I think, you know, I know we are now going way off, but I'm just going to share one thing with you just to remind you. My understanding is that, like many Democrats, he was in the pocket Obama with trial lawyers. And, you know, the truth, and why do you think Obama doesn't want or didn't want to have limits on malpractice cases? Because it's common sense with costs spiraling out of control that you need to limit, in my opinion, malpractice awards. And he was pure politician in that regard.
And this comes to my point as well. I mean, we talk about immigration reform. He's been trying to get immigration reform. He wants the Republicans to do the DREAM Act, which is a path for citizenship for younger people who have come here not of their own choice. And people will question, well, great, that's fantastic. But as we're building up for the election is when he decides to finally do something, which is great. But that's what I was talking about. So right now,
I think it's not to try and gain a strong foothold in the Latino vote.
Of course. I mean, it's obvious that that's the motive, but I don't really mind what the motive is.
Right. Well, you cannot mind and you can ignore. Those are two different things. There would be a difference. Sometimes there's motive means there's something else coming on the back end. If you're going to do one thing, well, eventually I'm going to have to do this.
Right. So I would just say that you can argue the semantics of it and that's fine. But ultimately what matters above and beyond everything else is the final result.
Yes. Which this immigration deal is not. This will not be the final result.
This is
what he said to get hopefully the Latino vote, which he pretty much already has.
This morning, Secretary Napolitano announced new actions my administration will take to mend our nation's immigration policy, to make it more fair, more efficient, and more just, specifically for certain young people sometimes called dreamers. It says that if your parents brought you here as a child, you've been here for 5 years, and you're willing to go to college or serve in our military, you can one day earn your citizenship. And I've said time and time and time again to Congress that send me the DREAM Act, put it on my desk, and I will sign it right away.
And they didn't, so he did an executive order and took care of it. I'm happy, but the funny thing is
The birds were happy.
The birds were happy back on.
And you know, just so you know, those birds were actually flown in for sound.
And now the funny thing is like we were just saying, this is huge for, obviously, for him, for Latino voters, which even before this, back in March, Politico did a poll, and he was already beating Romney 70% to 14% among the Latino voters.
Well, here's the wild card on this.
That was before this. Good.
If the guy I'm trying, his name's slipping my mind, the Hispanic down in Rubio. Then I think that it's a wash.
I don't think it'll be enough of a wash.
It would be a genius move if he did become a VP.
I would assume that's where he's leaning, because Florida is going to be extremely important. But, you know, and as far as the DREAM Act goes, as always, Romney doesn't really answer. He basically has said, well, he would look into solving a long-term problem, meaning I can't give you an answer right now.
Right. Could be a fence, could be the DREAM Act.
Yeah.
You know, there is something to be said, regardless of what one's view is on immigration. Is it really proper for a president to, in a sense, sidestep congressional protocol? You know, I mean, where does this end? And what else is a president going to just push through? That's why we do have Congress.
Yes, and if you...
See, but now you're arguing both sides, Vic.
No,
Let me just say, because before you're like, you don't care what his motivation is. I understand that, and yeah.
I don't care
about his motivation. But what I'm saying is, I want to see things done.
You don't care how it gets done, yet this is the only way anything's going to get done, because
right.
Congress has made it clear we're not going to do anything you want
nothing.
To do.
Yeah. Right. And I don't have a problem with what he's doing in this regard, but what I do question is, when does it end? It's a Pandora's box. You know, what is going to be the next thing? And it doesn't have to be Obama. It might be another president in the future, and it might be something that no one, you know.
There are ways, and they've been finding new ways. Yeah, and no argument. They've been finding new ways for decades, if not longer, on how to get around the laws that they already have.
I mean, look at drones.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And we figure out ways to go to war. We just don't declare it war.
Yeah,
we'll declare it something else.
We've also found new ways in to use the filibuster.
Yeah,
it used to be a rarely used thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now it's like hundreds of times they're using it. You know, they're using it for everything. So nothing gets done.
Yeah, you have to do something. Now, the funny thing is, we're talking about him going around the system in order to try to, you know, nail down a Latino vote that he already seemingly has handily. You go, well, who do the Republicans go for? Well, instead of trying to get people, they figure, well, we'll go to Florida and we'll try to just get more people off the roll, off the voter roll. Governor Rick Scott is basically trying to, they have a big list. They want to get supposedly all these non-citizens from voting, which I don't know how that's really a problem.
There was like four of them.
Yeah, there's a whole rush of citizens non-citizens trying to make themselves as obvious as possible by voting. But his system is basically, hey, we have a huge list. We'll give you the list, and then you have to prove, if you're on it, that you should not be on it. So let's listen to this.
The Department of Justice filed suit Tuesday against Florida over Republican Governor Rick Scott's voter verification program. Scott says removing up to 2,600 voters who might be illegally registered would help prevent voter fraud in the state. But critics are calling it a cynical attempt to remove Democrats and minorities from the rolls. According to Fox News, the Department of Justice believes Scott's move violates federal law.
A day earlier, Governor Scott announced a lawsuit against Homeland Security. The suit claims the federal government is denying the state access to a database that would help in verifying the citizenship of its registered voters.
The Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee says Governor Scott's list targets Democrats, and critics say his actions are meant to control election turnout. Democratic Senator Dick Durbin says 87% of the names on Scott's list were minorities. Justice Department officials are pointing to the law books. They say it's against federal law for Florida to remove unregistered voters less than 90 days before an election. The state's primary is on August 14th.
So here you go. 87% of the people on the list are minorities, which mostly vote Democrat.
Welcome to Florida.
Exactly. Now, here's the interesting thing about the list. They first came out with a list, and he said, you know, here's a list. You have to prove you're not on it. There were 182,000 names on the list. And people complained that that list was nowhere close to accurate. So they came out with a second list. That second list had 25,000 names. You just went from 182,000 to 25,000. So if somebody didn't complain about the first list, there's another 160-something people, 157,000 people that were on that list that shouldn't have been.
Let me just get this.
And then it went down to 2,700. Go ahead.
Okay, because it's a little confusing to me. You're telling me, what I'm understanding here is, this guy, who is this guy?
He's the governor of Florida.
The governor of Florida.
Oh, right. Okay.
Looks like Midnight Oil Singer.
Okay. So governor of Florida is putting together a list of people who, and he's a Republican, mm-hmm. right, who he is concerned are not legitimately registered vote, aren't legitimate registered voters.
Yes. He says he wants to clean up the voter roll.
And what is the...
But they're not checking any Republican voters.
How are they... Well, how are they determining...
There's a list that they've been using different lists, which is why they're now on their third list, down from 182,000 to 2,700.
2,700. That's the
third list that's on there. And on that
and
list.
And the final list, right? The other ones are now discarded.
But they're looking for a different list. They're suing the Department of Justice saying, we want, you guys have a list on, on immigrants.
They wanted Homeland Security to furnish them with a list.
Who's they?
Florida. Governor of Florida wants Homeland Security to give them a list
of all the registered voters.
Yes, and they have paperwork on immigrants, and they want to try to track down all the illegal immigrants.
And Homeland Security said it is not our job to get involved with voter registration.
They also say the Department of Justice says the database is not set up for hunting down illegal voters, and time frame wise, it's already too late to try to do that with this system. So he's using DMV list.
Who's he? The governor?
The governor.
Okay.
He is the governor in the story.
Good.
And he is saying they're basically using the DMV. And so, like, right off the bat, when they first came out with the list, there was a guy who was a military, fought in the Battle of the Bulge, for the love of God. And he shows up to a Rick Scott speech and says, I'm on your list. Why can't I vote? I've not only been an American for like 70, 80 years, but I have medals and
yeah.
Oh, well, all you have to do is go find your correct paperwork and bring it down to the correct place. And that seems fair.
So, who's taking this to court?
They're suing each other. The state of Florida is suing the Department of Justice, and the Department of Justice is suing them, saying what you're doing in the system you're doing it with is not legitimate. On that list, that latest list so far, out of, I believe, 2,700 people, 500 people on that list should not be on that list. And 50, they have found 50 people who shouldn't. I mean, I apologize. 100 people who are not citizens, so they were correctly on that list. 500 who were incorrectly on that list. And then the rest they don't have yet. So right off the bat, you're 5-1 on people you're getting rid of who should be voting. They have also, by the way, just to tie this all together, they've also limited the amount of registering, late registering. Let's see here if I can find it. Limited the amount of late registering and registration drives in order, which is mostly minorities. So early voting hours, they got rid of that as well.
They got rid of early voting. They also tried to impose a thing where anyone registering new voters, anybody you got to sign up, you know, like the people you would see outside a supermarket, you had to turn those lists in within 48 hours, which doesn't give the people canvassing a whole lot of time. They have to organize a list, write them up, and then get them to the proper authorities in 48 hours. We've never had anything like that.
And again, the reason, and then I want to move on from this relatively quickly, but the reason, I don't understand the reason. I understand the logic behind it, but not one that can be admitted
to. It helps your side.
Right. So, I mean, I understand the argument of, hey, I don't think anybody's ever going to argue we want non-citizens to vote. But when you start saying, well, you know what, let's make voting drives harder. Let's limit the hours where you can show up and vote. Like, why are you making it tougher to vote for anybody?
Yeah. What's their answer? Do they have an answer?
Their answer is their answer that they can publicly give always is, we want to limit fraud. The fraud that they have been able to come up with has been in the single digits.
Well, the interesting thing to me is that oftentimes if the idea is to limit Democrats, they actually might be eliminating some Republicans.
Not enough.
Not really.
Not enough. 87% of the people on the list are minorities, almost all of them Democrats.
But, you know, from what I've read, a lot of Cubans are very Republican.
Depends. Some of them are, but that would be your small percentage of people who are not going to vote the way you want them to vote.
Well, I'm happy the courts are going to take care of it, and I pray that the courts, justice is blind. Hopefully, they'll be fair in whatever their judgment is.
Not likely. Have you been around? How young are you? You don't look that young to believe that shit. Oh, okay. You know what? You look old for 22.
Yeah, I just took a civics class.
All right. Well, I thought reading was going out of style, but apparently a nun has picked up on it and has written a book about sex. Now, what gets you hotter than a nun book about sex? Listen to this.
Sex as a path to human joy and fulfillment. Self-satisfaction. Homosexuality as a choice. Divorce. Remarriage. Those are not concepts you expect to hear from a Catholic nun, unless she is Sister Margaret Farley, a Yale-affiliated scholar devoted to ethics and theology. Farley's book, Just Love, A Framework for Christian Sexual Ethics, published in 2006, was recently condemned by the Vatican, saying it's in total contradiction with what the Catholic Church stands for. Thus, they banned the book from their school's sexual education programs and even wrote negative reviews on Amazon. Sister Farley says traditional morals are wrongly focused almost exclusively on sex, seeing the human body and desire as taboos. On the contrary, she suggests sex should be guided by the principles of justice and freedom of choice.
By the way, I love the porn music in the background. That's awesome.
I like that.
It's so naughty.
Now, here's the thing. I don't know about you, but as soon as they say, Sister Farley, I picture Chris Farley in habit.
Huh. I'm with you. It's hard to not do that.
Well, this is, to me, a classic example of the old adage, those who can't do, teach. Because it's my understanding, aren't nuns celibate?
I had sex with a nun.
Okay, other than that one?
Are people who are good at being nuns celibate? I don't know.
I thought they don't have sex.
No, they do. They take a vow. They're married to God.
Right. So they're what kind of advice?
So hold on. A woman cheated on God with you is what you're telling me? It's nice.
I am actually personally responsible for a nun leaving the order.
Did God start calling you up and harassing you?
I'll tell this very briefly because I know it has nothing to do with this show, but it was in Montana and I was doing stand-up and a girl came up and we hit it off, started fooling around after the show, and she's like, I can't believe I'm doing this. And I'm like, no, it's okay. You're not the first woman to have a one-night stand. She goes, no, I'm a nun.
And that's interesting, because I once had sex with a priest.
So, you had less choice.
That's a little different.
That was a joke,
consensual.
By the way. God forbid. don't want to make light of a very serious problem.
The convent, and after watching your show, and I'm like, she's like, are you okay with that? And I'm like, I'm Jewish, no problem.
And then she had a little Jew in her.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, yes. Now, Sister Farley, in her book, wrote, masturbation usually does not raise any moral questions at all. Homosexual acts, quote, can be justified. And as you might imagine, the Vatican statement says, quote, masturbation is an intrinsically and gravely disordered action.
Which applies to every person alive.
Yes, exactly. And that homosexual acts are intrinsically disordered and contrary to natural law.
Well, that's because their feeling is any sex act that isn't related to procreation is wrong and shouldn't happen.
See, here's my thinking. If their problem is about creation, masturbation for me always creates a mess. But it's creation. There is something being created. Dirty sheets, dirty socks.
Good jokes.
A lot of Kleenex.
That is nice. So what do you do when the nuns get attacked? You take the nuns on a tour.
The Vatican chastised the Leadership Conference of Women Religious, America's largest group of Catholic nuns, for caring too much about the very poor and not spending enough time crusading against abortion and same-sex marriage. Rush Limbaugh put it this way.
Do you know what the nuns are doing? The nuns have gone feminazi on everybody. This small group of nuns in the Catholic Church is going feminist. And the Vatican is obviously, it's figure of speech, slapping them down.
It's the only reason I left it in there. Who would say that but that douche?
I know. Here's the you always hear the stories like, oh, the nuns beat people up in school. I don't know about that because
I would have liked it.
Yeah, well, there is nothing I would like to see more than a whole large host of nuns beat the crap out of Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Like, just with rulers.
Yeah. Specifically with rulers,
smacking the shit out of Russia.
My problem with that soundbite you played, Gus, is that you played it. Listening to Rush Limbaugh's voice.
And the thing is Rush Limbaugh has nothing to do with the church. It's such a stupid thing to hear that douche say. First of all, you're going to use the term slapped them down, and then you're going to refer to nuns as they've gone all feminazi.
Yeah, like...
They unchain themselves?
To the nun's position, what they're saying, their entire, I'll use the word argument, but their position is that Jesus himself was about helping the poor and helping people and helping to lift up those who need help. And that is what they want to do. It is about love and inclusion.
Yeah.
And what kind of ass do you have to be to try and find fault in that?
Well, the other thing, you just made a great point, and a bunch of great points. One in particular, I'm also happen to be of the Jewish faith, and I'm talking about Jesus and helping the poor. And the beautiful thing about masturbation is that it's free, and that the poor can masturbate.
It's not free if you're doing it in public, I found out.
Yeah, that's true, or in this room.
Well, that can be free.
I guess so. But, I think that there's something beautiful about it, that the poor can and should. I think that we all,
to mention we'd have less kids.
The other thing that bothers me, the one thing that concerns me about
More than masturbating homeless people? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, them masturbate themselves. To me, this is because nuns, to me, know nothing about sex. It's like, that's the biggest problem for me. You know, it's like, to me, like if Rosie O'Donnell wrote a book on dieting. She's got nothing.
Well, I haven't read the book, but I'm assuming...
It's a page-turner.
I'm assuming what is in the book is, and from what I've read about it, seems to be talking about that certain elements of it are not wrong. When dealt with in certain ways,
yeah, it's not
taboo.
Book.
Yeah, I don't believe it's a how to pleasure yourself guidebook. As much as it's a theologian's version of, hey, this isn't all as bad as it's originally been made out to be.
Right. You should. It's about alleviating some of the guilt.
Right.
In other words, like, you are not a bad person by participating in these acts.
Yeah. Basically, the nuns went, oh, it's not the 12th century. And they started speaking out. Now, the Vatican issued the statement basically criticizing the American nuns for being too focused on social justice issues and, quote, not spoken out enough against gay marriage, abortion, and other such topics.
They're not towing the line.
A couple things. Yes. Rabbi Shmueli had his book, the kosher sex book. And why shouldn't the nuns have, I guess, now I'm switching sides, they should have their shot at it.
Did you ever consider having a debate show, you versus you?
I know, I'd win either way. Not a bad idea.
I just want to tell Vic this horrible joke.
Go ahead.
It's not actually a horrible joke, but you know this one. Why do women use these two fingers to masturbate?
Why?
Because they're mine.
One last thing I want to say about the nuns. What I find fascinating is that they wear black, right? Well, they used to wear those black...
The big habits.
Thinking like the flying nun type.
Yeah, and it's like black is supposed to be slenderizing. Yet I often would see, nuns that still look big. And are you, like...
Well, they're married to God, and God still wants her to look good.
Yeah, right.
Good.
Well, I was just wondering, I'd love to see one in a pantsuit.
Well, you can now.
These nuns on the bus are saying it's like they're, and I think it's about time. They're coming out of the old days. It's like, they can wear regular, sensible clothes. They can do the work that's important.
Yeah, if they don't modernize, your numbers are already dropping with each generation. So they try to modernize, but apparently... The people in charge are saying, stop doing that because we can't contradict ourselves too much. The more we modernize, the more trouble we're in. But let's go from church, sadly, to go from church to what usually is just, one room away to some molestation case. But in this case, we have to go to Pennsylvania to the Sandusky case. Listen to this.
Are you a pedophile?
No.
Are you sexually attracted to young boys, to underage boys?
Am I sexually attracted to underage boys? Sexually attracted, I enjoy young people. I love to be around them. But no, I'm not sexually attracted to young boys.
I am not a lawyer, but I will say this. When somebody asks you if you're attracted to young boys, you say no.
You know, what I found really cool about that is that someone else has been asked those questions.
You know, when you hear that pause, what I hear is they taste like cotton candy, you know, like.
The trial has been underway.
What is going on in your head?
This guy is so guilty. He needs to go down.
Well, okay, maybe so that's yeah, you made different, yeah, different it, terminology. Yes.
It's disgusting mm-hmm. what this guy has done. And what really makes me ill is the defense. Now they're saying that this guy has some type of mental disorder, a histrionic personality disorder.
Yes.
That is such a...
Well, they're trying everything. They were trying to discredit. And now, I mean, basically it's been 4 days of 8 different men getting on. They're all between the ages of 18 and 28, all claiming specific, very, very specific stories.
It's been penetrating. I've been really listening, reading.
caught me off guard on that one. What can your defense be? Your defense is going... It's going to be hard to be like, well, all of these kids are making shit up. Hard to knock the credibility of every kid that's
on
there.
Well, there's not only that, but you have the eyewitness.
Yes. Mike McQuarrie, who came in, who basically saw and heard some creepy shit happening in a shower.
Well, the quote, which is unbelievable, is skin on skin slapping sound.
Yeah, that's not good. That's
it can
not
be
good.
If I'm with, like, you know, 25-year-old, 30 woman.
Just high-fiving.
Yeah, that's not good in Penn State or church. It's not good. No. And here's my favorite quote from Sandusky's lawyer. Jerry and Mike, and this goes to the defense of his histrionic disorders crap that they were claiming. Yeah. Quote, Jerry, in my opinion, loves kids so much that he does things none of us would ever do.
Exactly.
Yes.
That's
unless,
the problem.
Unless you're a priest or maybe the singer of Thriller, perhaps, but otherwise... I mean, that blows my mind. And
it blew a few kids' minds.
Yes. You can take mind out of there. Administrators, the two Penn State administrators, Gary Schultz and Tim Curley, who have been, who are on trial for lying under oath and also for not reporting it, those assholes, they're now found documents that they had, which is basically a secret file on Sandusky, which blows my mind. You have the file of him doing shit, and you're like, let's just keep this to ourselves.
There are a couple things, sir, that are real important. First of all, Mike McQuarrie may be making amends by finally really speaking up and giving some testimony. But boy, look at all the kids that have been damaged because this guy didn't have the courage.
I mean, it's common sense.
You call the police if nothing's happening. I mean, this is disgusting that this guy's stabbed. And the other thing is, I think Penn State should be sanctioned by the NCAA. What? I would pull them out for 2 or 3 years. Yeah, this is a systemic problem.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. Well, at the very least, everybody. I mean, if these administrators don't go to jail, that's and,
it's
and here's
bigger than
in
that.
Those in country. Those files. Well, here's the thing: is it's bigger than that, and it isn't bigger than that, in only this way. It's everybody who had any possible knowledge of any of this should have to pay a huge price. But there are kids that are there that are in school now that had nothing to do with any of this. There are people that have things that have nothing to do with any of this, and so. I am by no means saying that it should be swept under the rug. I think these crazy assholes and the former president who stepped down, who should also be in prison as well, and hopefully they will be. But I mean, in their files, in these two administrators' files, talking about Sandusky, they said it would be, quote, humane to Sandusky to not involve the authorities. Mm. That alone, put these assholes in jail, because I don't know if they know what humane means. Or at least who they should be humane to.
Well, look, this is the identical thing to what happened with the church.
Protect yourself.
Right. Yeah. It's infuriating. And I mean, these poor people have been molested. They're damaged forever. Now, this is kind of something that popped in my head, and I'm not going to own it as my feelings. It's just sometimes thoughts come in, and I'll just share it with you. But I don't want to be attached to these thoughts because they just pop in.
Too late. You're attached. Go ahead.
No, it's not me. It's a thought. And the thought to me was when I was looking at this guy, Sandusky was, if God forbid in a million years I were ever abused by a man, I'd rather him look more like a Bradley Cooper or, you know, I mean, the man is not.
Yeah. I hate to say I'm with you. That whenever you hear a story like that and you're looking, you're like, oh God, that big, ugly mess.
I mean, he's disgusting, mammoth, out of shape, blubber. You know, and God forbid, you know, I mean, I'm not saying I believe this. It just was a thought that came in my head. I'm not going to even own it, but I just wanted to share that.
Well, here's the thing is, You've now owned it?
No.
I don't care if you claim responsibility right. for it or not. That comment is smothered in Vic.
I believe Bradley Cooper's on the line.
Well, you know, we all have our man crushes.
No, I hear you. If Robert Downey Jr. wanted to take a shower with me, I'd have to think about it.
There we go.
Again, you mean.
Again.
And you know who's just disgusting? That wife of his. Sandusky's wife. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I got to assume if you're that crazy clam, you got to be in some sort of denial as well.
I mean, this guy needs to go away forever.
I think that'll happen. I will be surprised if he is in prison for more than a year before he's somehow dead. I will be surprised.
Well,
he'll love prison.
You know, no, he won't, because they are not kind.
They're not kind to pedophiles.
If he is ever anywhere near general population, he's got about an hour.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to another case real quick. George Zimmerman. If you don't know who George Zimmerman is, the man who shot Trayvon Martin, then you're probably not listening to a news program right now. Anyway,
he was the suit guy.
His wife has now been arrested. Shelley Zimmerman has now been arrested.
Shelley Zimmerman was taken away in handcuffs to the same jail where her husband is being held without bond. She is charged with lying at his bond hearing. Attorney prosecutors say she lied under oath about money, pure and simple.
Exactly. She lied about how much money she and her husband controlled from a defense fund website that was set up before George Zimmerman was charged in the death of Trayvon Martin. She claimed they were broke, and a judge let George Zimmerman out on a $150,000 bond because of that. Well, it turns out they had over $120,000, and the state claims she knew it.
So she had that money because of the website, because people went, this guy needs my help. This man who shot the 17-year-old unarmed kid needs my money.
That's a lot of white money.
Hold on. You don't know the whole story.
I do know he shot him.
You don't know the whole
story.
I don't know the whole story. So how do you know
it? Well, if you don't know he shot him, then you are the dumbest man in America, because he claims he shot him. Everybody claims he shot him.
You don't know the circumstances. No.
What did I say? What did I say?
I said he shot him. The tone, you were already judged him.
You can take my tone and you can go fuck yourself. He shot him. That's all I said. Did he shoot him?
Yes, he did.
Okay. Well, what are you arguing with?
No, you said he shot an unarmed man, which would make people believe that the guy did
something
wrong.
Were the Skittles?
And I don't know.
Were the Skittles sharpened?
Listen, we don't know if he was threatened before that. We don't know anything.
So, first of all the things you're bringing up, though, none of that debate anything I said, which is he shot an unarmed 17-year-old kid. Skittles and iced tea are not armed.
The tone in your voice sounded, I could be mistaken. I apologize if I...
No, you're not mistaken. You're not mistaken. You've recognized that tone very well.
And I'm not saying that, I'm not defending the guy.
Well...
At all.
I agree. There's a lot of details that, you know, we may learn, we may not, because you can't, without eyewitnesses, it's all just...
It's a tragedy. I'm just like saying I'm on...
No, I understand
that. I'm not defending Zimmerman at all.
No, and nor am I, but I specifically have actually gone out of my way to say the press is too quick to give motivation and assign guilt and motivation and all that to a case that hasn't been tried yet. That being said, the man shot an unarmed 17-year-old. That 17-year-old might have chased him and looks like beat the shit out of him before he got shot. That all seems to be the case from what's been leaked. But the trial has to happen still, but he did shoot the guy. And he did shoot a guy that would not have even been speaking to him if he didn't follow him. We also know that.
No, there's a lot of creepy parts to this.
Yeah, where he definitely screwed up is because he was on the phone. He's like, I see this guy, and do you happen to follow him? And they said, no, don't do that.
Yeah, and then he was running.
I think I'll do that anyway.
Well, the more I hear about Zimmerman, the more I dislike him.
Yeah. Well, there's not. I didn't like that tone when you said that. By the way,
I don't like him.
But I gave you your chance to tell me to fuck off. I thought, and you didn't take it.
No, but because you did hear a tone. Because that doesn't make him either innocent or guilty. I'm just saying that I don't like. I don't like dishonesty.
No, I also don't like shooting people when you can avoid shooting people. That's a thing. I mean, if I can not chase a guy and then have a deadly confrontation, that'd be awesome. I'd like to not do that.
Right, but again, Gus, you don't know the circumstances.
No, that is true. And that's why I would not go to trial and call him guilty without an actual trial. However, still, he shot an unarmed man. None of that's being debated. He also followed an unarmed man.
I also think it's crazy he had a gun.
Yeah,
is he running around town with a gun?
Because
it's not the Wild West.
Well, it is if you're a Republican, and it is if you're in Florida.
Is he a Republican?
I do not know, but I know the Republicans are all for, hey man, take your guns, don't touch my guns, and we should be allowed to shoot before we back up.
There is an R in NRA.
Now, that being said, if this wasn't George Zimmerman, if this wasn't a case where we can argue like this already, would his wife have been getting, you think his wife gets arrested if this is a case that is not getting any publicity?
It's hard to say.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. Normally, I would say no. Like the only problem is it's similar to the Roger Clemens case in the aspect of it seems so stupid. But when you do something like, well, I'm going to lie to you under oath, you're forcing people to go, oh, I'll ignore that lie. And, I mean, this is something they probably never would have ever investigated except for she was on record saying, no, I don't have any money about this. And then what I'm looking at here is they had $74,000 right before the bond hearing. She transferred them in eight smaller deposits to keep it less than $10,000 so you don't have to file something.
What they did was despicable. And the reason it is important is because this whole case is going to come down to the only person alive who was actually there, who was Zimmerman, and it's going to come down to, is this guy honest or not? And he has completely blown his credibility. And
which shows a problem with the stand your ground law, when usually stand your ground law, you have one person to ask, and that's the person who shot. And that's it. So if the other person didn't live through the stand your ground law, well, you're going to have to take that person's word for it. Which is not great. But let's get to the closing of an old case. Turns out the dingo did it.
I have lost my fiancé, the poor baby.
Maybe the dingo ate your baby. The dingo ate your baby.
I had no idea what the hell that was referring to, and I still loved it. That was a Seinfeld episode.
Too soon.
32-year legal mystery. There was, for anyone who doesn't know the Dingo Ate Your Baby story.
Meryl Streep.
What was the name of that movie? Crying in the Dark. 32 years ago in Australia, a several weeks old baby was suddenly missing from inside a tent, and the parents claimed a dingo must have taken it. And at first inquest, they looked at it and said, yes, okay. And then they had another inquest and went, no, you should probably stand trial. We don't believe you. And the mother was convicted of murder, spent 3 years in jail before another inquest actually said, they overturned it and said, we don't know. They didn't say they were innocent. They said, we don't know. Since then, they had found some of the baby's clothing in a dingo den, and
I want to tell you something. I've spent some time in some dingo dens, and I want to tell you the way they decorate and the entertainment. They had a beautiful stereo.
Dingoes know how to party.
Did they use baby clothing to decorate? Because apparently they go for it. One of the pieces of evidence that they use now to basically declared that it was a dingo that killed the baby. But some of the new evidence is several dingo attacks on humans since then, which they didn't have reports of before this case 32 years ago. Now there was a 9-year-old boy who was attacked and killed, maybe from one of the dens you were in. But
you know what this tells you, though?
What's that?
Dingoes do not have a powerful lobby.
No.
They're not well represented.
No, isn't that how Casey Anthony got off? Her murder? Did she blame it? I can't remember. Was it a dingo?
No, I think she blamed her dad.
Yeah, oh, she blamed her dad.
But her dad was half dingo.
And her brother. Her dad and brother blamed her, and they all went, well, you can't prove anything.
Okay, then my bad. I'm sorry.
No. That's fine. She's also as guilty, and I wasn't there either. She's as guilty as could be. That's who George Zimmerman should have shot, for the love of God. He missed.
Yeah, they're both in Florida.
Everybody who's crazy is in Florida.
Yeah, that's...
Feed him to the face eater.
Thank God. We people here in California a break. Makes us look somehow sane.
Well, that's tough to do.
Yeah.
That is tough to do. I want to talk briefly a little sports. Drew, a sport is something other than football. People are
Kiss
competing.
My ass. You know I play sports.
I mock them because I am apparently the only person in the state who watches hockey. The LA Kings, by the way, won their first championship.
For the first time in their 45-year history, a Stanley Cup for Los Angeles. The Kings are the Kings.
Did That's a good horn. Mm-hmm. I don't care what sport, that's a good horn.
Mm-hmm.
LA Kings won it. They actually 16-4 they went into playoffs. They were an eighth seed. Barely got in with like a week and a half, 2 weeks left in the season. They finally clinched a spot and then lost four games through the whole playoffs. And none of them, they didn't lose any game in any round until they had three wins already, until they were up 3-0. So
I just fell asleep.
Yeah, exactly. That is you and most people in this town.
Well,
but my favorite part of the Stanley Cup, by the way, is the tradition after you win it, which is every player gets to hold on to the cup for, I don't know if it's a day, a couple of days, a week, and they can do whatever the hell they want with it. So that big ass cup, I remember when the Rangers won it, they would take it into a cab and go to a bar with it. And people would be sitting around drinking, getting shit faced out of the Stanley Cup. There were guys who were, you know, from Russia, haven't been home in decades. Win it, they bring the cup back to Russia. I mean, people do all sorts of crazy shit.
They only have it for a day?
It might be a week. I don't know how long. Depends how many players. They may probably for more than a day, because if they're traveling with it, they have to have it more. But I mean, one guy, I remember when the Islanders won it back in the day, one of the guys bathed his kid in it, his baby in it. You know, it is one of the coolest traditions where you will see people who had just reached the pinnacle of their sport and walking around with a trophy like a 5-year-old.
Well, some things I've read and heard is that if you do play in the NHL, you do not touch the cup until you've won it.
That is true. That is true. You don't want to touch it until you've earned the right to touch it.
Really?
Yeah. And all the names, everybody's name goes on it. Your name, if you were the last player on the bench, when your team wins it, your name is inscribed in that cup.
I think they should
run out of room?
Well, they put other layers over top, and they can take other layers off.
I think they should do this with all the sports that, like after the World Series, you get to hold like the pitcher's cup, you know, that he wore in the game. Like, you know, it's different.
Pass.
It is different. You know, it is different. We got the NBA Game 3 on today. I'm going to leave here and go watch that probably by myself, because I'm sure you guys don't really give a shit.
Yeah, what was it? Oh, yeah, I have a
I'd life. Love to see it another time. Not that game.
I'd love to see it another day.
No, I'm actually very... I would love to see Oklahoma take it. One thing I want to say about the Stanley Cup is, mm-hmm. you know, only 7 million viewers for the final game.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. World Series, 25.4 million for the final game.
Yeah, well...
Last World
Series. It's a horrible contract. Hockey has a horrible contract. I couldn't even watch my home team during the regular playoffs.
What were they doing on, like, NHL.com or NHL TV or something?
Yeah, NHL Sports, most people don't have... NBC Sports, most people don't have it. Let's go to headlines. We got a few minutes left. We'll check in on our Syria mess. Last time, Drew and I keep having the same conversation. What the hell is going on in Syria?
Well, I love how now they even pull out, you know... The
unarmed monitors.
The unarmed monitors, yeah. They're like... It's gotten too dangerous to put in unarmed monitors. It started off too dangerous to put in an unarmed monitor. Yeah. When people are shooting, it's dangerous if you are an unarmed monitor.
That is true.
It's such a crazy, complicated case over there. It's so hard to know what's real, what's really happening.
Well, yeah, when you can't send people in, you're relying on the people who are involved to tell you the truth. That's going to be tough.
It's also, you know, the United States, if there's going to be a war, we know they're gearing up for Iran.
Yeah, well, you're not going into Syria without getting Iran into it. So I think that's why we can only do so much until we decide we're going to do something like that. And that's not happening before an election.
It's really sick. I mean, it's amazing. It's a real moral dilemma for this country, I think. I mean, what warrants us to get involved and what doesn't?
Yeah, I mean, we have talked about that as well. You can't always do what you feel morally is right, because you can't, just because you want to do it doesn't mean you can do it successfully. And different parts of the world, different countries.
I'm sorry, you're not entitled to that.
No, well, nobody's entitled necessarily to getting what's morally right being done. But if you're the one who happened to be born under an oppressive regime, you're hoping somebody else will stand up.
In other words, yes, you have things like World War II and things like, you know, other cases where we get involved, but I don't see where, you know,
it's our place.
The police of the world. It
we can't be, but we'd like to be, because we like to hold ourselves up as the moral, you know, these
the
morally
moral beacon,
upright
that's fine,
country.
But it doesn't work that way.
No, well, it can't. Even if we want it to, it can't. Drew, I know your feelings on marriage in general, so you should like this story. Two tortoises. Make our headlines. Two tortoises, BB and Poldi, BB being the female, are 115 years old. They've been together for over 100 years, and apparently now they can't stand the sight of each other. The zoo.
That is the perfect. That explains marriage right there.
It's for like, no, for 100 and almost 15 years, over 100 years they have been together, and now the female, every time they're together, tries to bite right. the male, and they separate them. They say they have no idea why they've fallen out of favor. I think you're retarded if you don't know. Here, they've been together for 115 years. You know every tortoise story that guy has.
Here's exactly. the deal. Here's the deal. On that.
And the tortoise keeps leaving the seat up.
No, here's the deal with that. The tortoise should have lived more like the hare. The hare would have been in and out. The tortoise, being so slow, went 100 and some years before it decided it was time. And that's a problem.
You're saying he was trying to get a divorce for the last 60 years? Yeah. Fine. Yeah. I'm walking out, and 60 years later, the door closes.
Well, yeah, that's what tortoises are. They're very slow. The hare would have been, boom, gone. Never saw him again. Went out for milk, never saw him.
Stephen Baldwin loses a lawsuit to Kevin Costner.
He's a dick.
Which one?
Baldwin.
Yeah. Apparently, it took only 2 hours for the jury to come back with what seemed like an obvious decision. Stephen Baldwin isn't believable.
I told you this story last week.
Yeah.
I met him once. He's actually very nice. But that has nothing to do with the story.
No. He is...
Is he the religious one?
Yeah, he's the religious one. You would think God would have helped him out in this case, but no, apparently not. He for anyone that doesn't know, he and Costner were both involved with other people in this company that made a device that they sold to BP that helped separate oil and water. And basically, Baldwin and his friend sold their stakes right before the big BP deal went down, which went down for like $52 million.
Here's my problem with this, okay? You got Kevin Costner, but we all can agree as men, he's a very gorgeous, handsome man,
sure.
right? So he's got that going for him. He's also a major A-list star. He's also super crazy rich. He gets the hottest women. Is he married now?
Yes.
Okay. Someone hot?
Yeah, sure. I would assume so.
Yeah.
Okay. You know a lot of movie stars who marry ugly women?
No. Good point. And so he's got all this going for him, and now he's got to get involved in the private sector and become a millionaire off of oil.
Well, goods? if he's in a
it's
company,
it's just annoying.
If he's in a company that's able to, you know, to do that, fantastic. That you know, I mean, he's probably looking at Jim Cameron and going, oh, awesome.
What about Rodney? Any time? Are we got a minute?
Oh, we got
my friend died.
Yeah, we will pass our condolences on to Rodney King. Drew knew him, who was found this morning at the age of 47 at the bottom of a pool.
Not Drew.
No, Drew was not. No, Rodney King
I'm
was.
I'm still here. I don't like
he was found at the bottom of a pool. I'm assuming there were some racist cops on a dinghy right nearby in case he tried to get up.
Well, the thing I don't get is this guy went into boxing, and it's kind of like, you know, the one thing we know he's good at is getting beat up. It's not a good sport for him.
No.
He's the only guy who went into boxing already knocked out.
He only has the rope-a-dope? That's what you're claiming? It's nothing but the rope-a-dope.
Having met him and spent 2 weeks with him, Rodney, for all his troubles and all his demons, you know, family of alcoholics, all that, if you actually sat down and talked to him, he couldn't.